Mega family. This is a special edition of the MegaCast.
Yeah.
First off, we have no idea what we're about to listen to.
I'm still nervous, Steve.
Yeah, don't be nervous, Ted, because I'm pretty sure what you're about to listen to is not really going to feature Ted and myself. Like we mentioned last week, we were going to go to the part alive, and we were going to do a podcast with Bert Kreischer.
Correct.
What we didn't realize was the amount of alcohol and how much we were under the influence we would be by the time we started recording at about 1:30 in the morning.
It was that late, wasn't it?
Yeah, we went until about 3, I think, hanging out with. So what you're about to listen to is basically the MegaCast with special guest host Bert Kreischer and a surprise appearance by our friend G. Scott from ESPN Radio. All we ask, because I don't want G to get in trouble, so don't like tag his company or anything like that. Like, let's keep it between us. You know, I don't want him to get in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, you can let him know you love hearing him talk with Bert and Tad and Steve, but just, you know, be cool. Don't dime him out.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, thanks to Bert and G for hosting the MegaCast.
It was a blast.
Yeah, we,
from what I remember.
Look, we were so wasted we could barely talk, and it's very evident on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve Metz.
B-Tech Smith and Steve Metz.
You are now entering the MegaCast.
The MegaCast.
Hi guys, this is corporate Bert Kreischer.
All right, here we are. We're doing the MegaCast.
Yeah, why are you guys' mics so different than our mics?
Because our mic can suck.
How come you don't put the...
Gee, Scott, everybody.
I don't know. Man, I'm having a problem with the mic.
Why
don't
you put
week.
The... like?
Because this was... Can I ask you something, honestly?
Yes.
Did you notice that I was, like, feathering the mic a little bit tonight?
You had it, like, over here.
Yeah, you were... Yeah, yeah. Okay, would this. It be better? Because it,
no, I was trying to learn.
I'm going to do a sound check tomorrow. I'm going to do a sound check.
In no way did you look like a guy that drank moonshine at, like, 9 a.m. today.
I looked pretty together, didn't I?
We got pretty...
Well, first of all, I'm not used to seeing a white dude with some fresh-ass Nikes. Nice, bro.
It's DC, man. The nice. Chocolate City.
I see you. Well, I see you.
You know why they call it Chocolate City?
Yeah, because it's black.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Have you been to DC?
Bert doesn't with the coloreds.
Yeah,
he doesn't with the coloreds.
Dude, this someone said colored to me the other day. And my wife's best friend. But can you not record this?
We're recording.
Yeah,
you know what? We should make G an honorary white guy.
The good news about this right now, Bert's naked. So listen. So you're listening right now,
and
Bert's naked.
I have a tiny boner.
This looks big to me. You got to see mine.
G, we all do.
So wait, is this Florida State, Tennessee? I am so f***ing hammered right now.
This is old school because you've had like four shots.
Yeah. The radio show we did to this morning,
yeah.
BJ and Migs, is a f***ing blast.
Why didn't you guys come to ESPN?
It's a blast. I don't know anything about sports.
Yeah. Like, hates John Clayton, that's why.
Yeah. I asked Ruben, I said, why did Bert want to come see the black people?
Oh, yeah, Bert. I didn't know there were black people there.
Bert.
Never mind.
Yeah, typically in Seattle sports radio, you won't see a black
There's
dude.
One black dude on radio in Washington. Right. Here he is, here.
I look like a guy that knows everything about sports, but when it comes down to it, I know nothing. They're like, what do you think about the Super Bowl? And I was like, it's going to be fun. Brady. Anyway. Man, I'm so f***ing hungry.
Should we order a pizza?
No.
Can 13, we? I'm going
you need
13
to get,
coins
you need to get
out
the
there.
F*** out from under. You need this. They're not listening to this right now.
Who? Who's that?
Your people. They're not listening
to
they're
it.
They're going to hear it, though.
Oh, yeah.
It is the
You know how corporate thinks, though, right? Corporate
yeah,
thinks.
Yeah, you know what? No, let me tell you what. That's this here. Is how corporate thinks.
That's here.
Corporate thinks, I have a car payment.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, we do this in a way that we love this. I love this. I love this more than anything. I love that. Stand up and this.
Yeah.
They don't think that way. They go, I have a car payment. I have a mortgage. I got a paycheck. Whatever. I don't want to rock the boat. I'm not going to say anything. They don't see the potential in this. They really don't. But the point is that it doesn't have to be, like, trust me, I'm a corporate guy. I was a Travel Channel for 7 years. It doesn't have to be corporate.
Did you wear a tie?
What?
Did you wear a tie?
No. No, I haven't worn it. I've worn ties to funerals. That's it.
Do you wear underwear? Quick. You know, white people don't wear underwear.
I don't wear underwear.
I knew it. I knew it.
Wait,
knew
you
it.
Don't wear underwear?
I knew you don't wear underwear.
No, you don't wear underwear? You wear,
yeah, you know why
I wear
underwear.
I got,
there's four of us right now.
I wear underwear.
You damn right I wear underwear.
Yeah. You wear underwear?
Under Armour.
Nasty.
No. Although the side of my balls smell horrible.
Wait, do you do you wash your jeans every time?
No.
And you go free ball?
I haven't showered since Wednesday.
Who puts their jeans in the freezer? I heard white people
I heard white people do that. Yeah,
It takes the freezer.
It really does.
Jeans in the freezer, take smell out. How often do you wash your jeans, bro?
Once every 2 weeks.
That's nasty.
I wash jeans just because I spilled some oil on it, and the stain is still there.
But I hear you.
I'm still wearing
your jeans. That you don't wash the jeans.
I changed the shirt.
You don't wash the jeans because it takes the. What does it take away?
It's too tight, man.
Yeah, it takes the comfort out, man.
When you wash your jeans, they get tight.
In that right spot,
we don't all wear them in the middle of our ass. So.
Oh!
Oh, shit.
Pretty goddamn.
That was offensive.
Right,
that was offensive.
I'm offended.
Oh, those aren't even jeans. Are those leather pants?
Right.
Those are sexy.
No, they're not. Eddie Murphy. This is not Eddie Murphy.
Are you delirious right
now,
jeans?
What is that?
Jeans, delirious.
I don't know one thing. Bert just felt my leg and it felt good.
What is that?
I got a boner watching it.
Those look like Pharaoh pants. Those are beautiful. What the fuck? I want a pair like that. What is that?
I don't know.
Do you have to wear them?
I know one thing. They cost some money.
I love that the tongue matches the Mariners logo on your hat.
That was on purpose.
I would hope.
That was clean. And the fact that you noticed that, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Right? I appreciate that. I like that.
The thing I learned from black dudes is that socks are important. So, like, I always try to match my socks with my hat.
All my socks are black because I don't want to match them.
That's a white guy move right there, man.
I know. Well,
different colored socks.
I don't know if you noticed. I am a white guy.
My shoes, I try to match my shoes with my hat.
Yeah.
Like, it's the littlest, subtlest thing that makes your outfit look good. You know, like, the fact that your logo and your shoes,
that
tongues.
Is dope.
On purpose.
Yeah. And logo, watch, shoes, and watch, and watch.
Watch. On purpose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's whatever.
Do
you care if your battery dies on your watch? Do you care?
No.
Me neither.
No.
It's a jewelry
item. No, but I'm starting to get a little weird about that. Back in the day when I was poor, I didn't care. Now it's getting to the point where I need, my it's got a tick. Like, if somebody asks me what time it is, I'll look at my watch and I'll pull out my cell phone.
Right, I have an Apple Watch, and I'm still always checking my iPhone before I check my watch.
Yeah.
Wait, did you recognize my watch tonight?
I did. I recognized
it. Is that a Rolex?
It's a Rolex, yes.
$40,000 watch.
Yeah, it's a Fitbit and a Rolex. That is the weirdest.
The same people that can write cursive, grown-ups.
Yeah. Well, grown up life.
I write cursive.
Yeah, I write cursive and I can wear a Rolex.
Well, I failed at Phoenix. I mean, these things happen.
I said to my wife today, I just found out last night, in all fairness, I found out last night that they don't teach kids cursive anymore.
Yeah, because it's a dead language.
And it's not a language, it's just an alphabet. I told my wife, and my wife goes, yeah, no one learns cursive anymore. And I was like, what do they do for signatures? How do you sign your name when people go, can I get an autograph? You just go, Bert, B-E-R-T.
Is your autograph different than your signature? Because mine is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Mine is, too.
Dude, when
my signature is...
Right.
But my autograph...
It's got, a flow to it.
It's got a flow to it.
Like, when I go to a place and, they have, the square card thing, the reader, where it's like, okay, sign your signature on this iPad.
Yeah.
Mine's just a bunch of f-ing squiggles. I'm waiting for the day that they're like, bro... Come on. At least try.
I run people's card on my phone when I sell shirts, and sometimes they leave and they forget to sign it, and I just sign it
for
them.
You give them a tip.
I just sign it for
them. The state of Washington sent me my election form back and said it doesn't match.
Oh, shut up.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
It's all
mail-in ballots, right? So you just sign something and give it to them, and they send it back.
Oh, shut the up.
Trump's my fault. My bad, y'all.
Have you guys noticed... Why does Bert's phone keep going off? How about that?
Well,
how about put that on the podcast?
Yeah, time celebrity.
What kind of message? Yeah, what kind of message
are you getting?
It's one morning, bro.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
I heard it earlier today.
Well, your podcast.
I don't cheat on my wife.
Now no, behind.
It's all tweets from Andy Kendler.
It's after
it really is tweets from Andy Kendler. He was on Getting Doug with I. I really love that podcast.
That's a great podcast.
I love it, man. There's something about. People smoking weed, and he was out of control.
I got some questions to ask.
G-Scott, everybody.
Look here.
I'm watching my...
Valentine's Day is coming up, right?
And I was, Sherry's Berries is a great...
And I was thinking, yeah. This motherfucker's always selling. Anyways, Bert. But here's my question, right? And people that's listening right now, here's the deal. Valentine's Day is coming up, right? And so it's coming up. Should women tell the man that she's on her period... Before Valentine's Day, before he decides to make that investment for the night.
I agree.
I mean, she should at least say, hey, listen, that night.
Like with my wife, I know an approximate when it's going down. You know what I mean? So it's like.
I never know. I never really? Know.
Do you
I know
base your Valentine's experience for her?
It's around the 22nd for her.
Because if you know you're going to be on that.
Oh, wait.
Look here. I'm going to get your ass a card. Happy Valentine's Day.
So wait, dude, you don't go the extra mile
if you're on your rag.
Can I just tell you, I like her when she's on her period.
Really?
Yeah.
That's some white people shit.
No.
Really?
No.
Black people don't do that, man. Hold on.
As a card-carrying white guy, it's not.
No. No. We're not on their rag.
No.
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 Oh, you know what white guys love?
That's not a white guy.
Are you eating on the rag, too?
Hold on. No. Oh, come on now. We have class.
Come on. I have done it. This is a family podcast, dude.
I have done it. I have done it. It was an accident.
No, it wasn't.
It was like getting a DUI.
How is it an accident?
The best joke is Mitch Hedberg, Mitch Fatel. By the way, so many Mitches died in comedy.
Yeah.
And Mitch Fatel is the last one left. He,
it's okay. Mitch McConnell's still alive, so we're all good.
He goes, Mitch Fatel goes, this girl, I was about to have sex with her. Yeah, I'm doing his bit a little bit, but he goes, and she was like, I don't think I want to do it. I'm on my period. And he goes, I don't care. And then we got on my couch, and after 5 minutes, I was like, I think I'm starting to care. He was like, are you going to buy me a new couch? It was, I don't know. I don't mind it. I don't really give a f- about that kind of shit.
Really?
Yeah, I don't really don't.
So you don't. So Valentine's Day is all good either way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
It's Valentine's Day. If my wife is like, look, I know, whatever. It's Valentine's Day. I'm like, okay, yes, absolutely.
But if it's not, you gotta believe that the man is gonna really go out of his way
to really extra.
I'll be honest. If my lady asks for it, I'm gonna give it to her.
Valentine's Day is about a woman making her feel good, giving her a gift. It has nothing.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
The very end is about single sex. It's the climax. It's the ultimate foreplay.
Is the women's march racing into this?
Look, all I know is if my wife wants, I don't care what's going on in her world, I'm doing it.
Either way.
She doesn't have anything. I'd almost wish she had herpes. Like, just so that I had a better commitment.
Yeah. You know? Then you're locked in.
Yeah, then you're locked in forever.
Right, forever.
Like, oh, we both have herpes. Commit. We don't want to give it to other people. Yeah.
That's better than a promise ring.
Your letter of intent is signed.
That's nature's promise ring.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I would like to give you nature's promise ring. What is that? Syphilis.
Tom Brady has the most beautiful swing I've ever seen in my life. No joke. I didn't know he played baseball.
How many men have a man crush on Tom Brady?
I do.
My man crush is on Gronkowski.
Oh, I want to watch him eat lollipops. I had a meeting with my agency, and they're like, we represent Rob Gronkowski. And I was like, dude, hook me up. I want to party with that dude. But I guess it was really creepy to call a 25-year-old guy and be like, there's a 44-year-old man in L.A. that wants to meet you. And he's like, pass.
Gee, you might remember A.J. Francis. He's a buddy of ours. Yeah. And he shared a great story with
me.
Good
chirp, too.
Yep. He was telling me about how, like, when he was on the Pats, he was number 69. And Gronk comes up to him, and that, like, made them best friends just because. And Gronk's like, bro.
Of course.
He just called him 69. Didn't even call him by AJ or anything like that. He's like, bro, I always wanted to be number 69. That's so cool that you're 69.
By the way, it would be great if it was all branding. And it wasn't really Gronk. Like, he was, like, a neuroscientist. And he was just like.
That's a massive.
I know that people hear my name, Gronk. Gronk. And they're like Gronkowski, and they're like, aw.
Could you imagine all of us on the Gronk cruise? I think our minds would all collectively.
He does a Gronk cruise?
Yes.
He does.
Yeah.
Call your agent right now.
How do we?
What do you think, Bert? Bring your boy.
He has no idea what to pay me. He pay me.
Bring your black friend, because you know you ain't got one black friend. You said imaginary earlier.
Yeah.
And you said Walter earlier.
Yeah.
That was some bullshit. There's no black people named Walter. So bring me as your black friend.
I'd bring you in a heartbeat, and just be. Just have you sit up front like as a plant and be like, what's up with black people? They fall asleep easy, right? And everyone's like, and I go, tell me I'm right. You're like, you're right.
Hey, G be like, man, I would. Hey, Bert, why you got on a Fitbit and a Rolex?
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
You know what's funny? While you're on stage, I didn't even notice the Rolex, but I noticed the Fitbit. I'm like, that's hilarious.
A lot of people using a Fitbit. And they're like, really? Like, you really? What do you use that for? Masturbating to see your spikes? Yeah.
Okay, here's my question. Another question. You took the shirt off before your set even started.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. You know what? Can I tell you something honestly?
Yeah.
I did Conan the other day.
Yeah.
And he asked the same question. And I really don't. There's like things I don't have answers for. Like this is just when I was a kid, like everyone used to go, where's Ernie? Because I'm Bert. And I never had to come back for it. So, like, people say it. It's the same thing with Van Wilder. Everyone asks about Van Wilder. And I go, and I told Conan, I go, don't ask me where I take my shirt. No, I didn't tell Conan, but I told his people, I go, don't ask me where I take my shirt off and don't ask me about Van Wilder. And because I don't, like, in the weirdest way, like, I just took it off one time and then I felt very comfortable. And I was like, there's no good answers to me, meaning, like, I took it off, I was in Columbus, and I left it off the whole show, and someone's like, dude, that's pretty interesting. You did your whole show with your shirt off. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then I felt more comfortable. And so now I just keep doing it. But I lost weight. And so part of me wants to start wearing a shirt. I'd love to wear a shirt. I would love to wear a shirt. But in a weird way, it's like, you know, this business, I don't know, not to get esoteric, but like.
But at some point, you got to reinvent.
This,
and then you just do that.
But you know, hey.
Don't you think?
For a black man.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a black man, you know how us black folks is in the crowd. We like, make us laugh. When you take your shirt off, we're like. Yeah. Okay, he's cool.
Yeah, I think everybody can connect with vulnerability.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think by you doing that, you instantly engage the entire audience.
But you said something really interesting about reinventing yourself, because my biggest problem is, and I think I said that, I've said this a bunch to you guys, that I definitely said it to you this morning.
Yeah,
is that I have a problem with the second something works, I want to disconnect myself from it.
We probably all feel that way.
I think that's natural, though, right? I'm the same way. And they're always like hammering into the ground. I'm like, no, this joke is over. Let's move on.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Keep going.
And right. It's like we know in that moment was awesome, but we also know we're capable of making more awesome moments.
Yes.
But there's people in management, and gee, I'm sure you get that too. And I'm sure, Bert, you hear it as well. It's like, no, hammer that to the ground. It's like, then I'm not being satisfied as a comedian, as a radio host, as an artist.
The thing I disconnect with is like, and by the way,
there's some deep going on right here. Are we going to take some mushrooms?
Do you have them?
Okay. Oh, that's no. G. Scott did not say anything about mushrooms, because you know black people don't with mushrooms.
I was about to say, but continue. It's a lot of white people.
Why don't black people get into hallucinogenics?
No.
Why?
We black people are usually with why a blunt, that? Yeah. And that's about it. Yeah.
What are you scared of?
Death.
I don't know. Yes.
Black people.
Yes. Black people. We are the most scared to die motherfuckers ever.
Yeah. Black deaths aren't as good as white deaths.
No.
Black deaths end with a grandma crying and tape.
Bingo. Like, oh.
Wait, talking. By the way, this is me podcasting.
Such a good professor. Like,
this is a celebration. We're not crying. We're having a celebration. Black people are like, ow, Lord.
How? My baby. Everyone's wearing red shirts with spray painted pictures of the guy's face. Like,
this podcast just got real.
I said this on stage tonight. I haven't figured this bit out. I really do believe I'm the opposite of racist. And like, I think whatever everyone else thinks, I'm not different. But like, I definitely have a vibe for empathy. So like, I connect
with
things.
That's the number one most important thing, man.
I connect with
things. It's to be empathetic.
So like, no, I read it tonight. I read it tonight. I heard it.
When I was on jury duty, I saw this dude. Oh, I saw this dude.
This story is getting crazy. I saw jury duty, continue.
I saw this dude. These dudes come out of this, out of the
jury. But you're on jury duty. That's already the separation.
Can I tell you something crazy?
This is by the way,
if we're going to be real
happened.
Right now, let's be real.
Let's get real.
I am. Please.
The only people you see at jury duty are Asians and white people in L.A. And I should say that in L.A. But like, no black people. It's the only black people you
not
see.
Not when O.J. was there. No. O.J. had black people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if he wasn't for black, well, his ass be under
but
the jail.
No, but that, you got to realize, oh, if you're a black jail. Woman sorry, going on jury duty, they put you on jury duty. If you're a black woman, you're on jury duty. Because the system is set up to black men. It is set up to fucking confuse them, make it complicated, make it tragic, and change your lives. Because once you go into the system, you're done, man. You're done. You don't come out of the system and go, that was a mistake. No white kid ever goes to trial. They have a lawyer that pleads them out. But dude, I'm telling you, when I sat there, and this is whatever my point about me being the opposite of racist, like I see things that I think maybe racists don't even know they're racist, and they go, well, that's just, I mean, that's who commits crimes or whatever. I don't, whatever they think. All I see is this is a system. You've seen the documentary, The 13th?
I have. Yep.
Holy. Yep. Have you seen it?
No, what's it about?
Yeah.
So the 13th Amendment abolished slavery.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I didn't know it was about that.
But they got rid of it, but the economy couldn't fund not having free black people. That's how that worked. So what they did is they went in and just started arresting black people for petty crimes that they're still arresting black people for. Possession of marijuana. Like, how many black men are in prison for drug possession when it's a petty crime, in my opinion?
Yeah.
So the whole point is the justice system is set up
simultaneously, by the way, when you're talking like the 1870s.
Simultaneously.
Right after the Civil War, when those carpetbaggers coming down there.
Carpetbaggers! I love that term.
Poor blacks are all together.
I love that term.
But what the carpetbaggers did was convince these whites that they were better than the blacks. Now, at no point have we changed the economic system. But what we did was convince them they were better than blacks.
Is that what happened?
Mike drop.
Mike drop. Yeah, through the lever.
County. Pass. You know, I know a few things. Don't even get me started on Sarah Bartman. I don't want to blow his mind.
I hear, boy.
Who? Tell me. Hey. Tell me.
You know what?
Ted.
By the way, this is a fantastic podcast.
By the way,
this is awesome.
By the way, Bill and Hillary, if y'all listening.
Bill Cosby?
Clinton, that is.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You put a lot of us in jail with the three strikes. You dig?
Mandatory minimums, right?
You already know.
Don't start it.
Hey,
I love that you go. I love that you go all Hidden Figures on us.
Hey, he already.
Can I tell you what Cosby does?
This is a good crew.
I'm trying to work this out.
It's real.
Cheers, everybody. Cheers.
Cheers
to our crew.
Can I tell you?
I hope you guys heard the clank. Continue.
What joke I'm trying to work out on stage, but I can't figure it out. And I started it tonight, and I bailed on it. My daughters are hardcore feminists. They really are, because my wife is, but not like bad, like not like intolerable, and she doesn't cuck me. But one of the things that blows me away is that Hidden Figures isn't true, and my daughters love that movie, and I go, I don't know how to rectify that in my soul. Where I go, I want them to know the truth. But I don't want them to be lied to because it's Hollywood.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yes, Chief.
Let's take this podcast to another level.
Please.
I'm going to ask you this. I did hear you talk about your daughter, your wife, being feminist. I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
Where did all this come from, bro? For you. I'm not talking about your kids. I'm not talking about your daughter.
Yeah.
For you. Where did your life get to the point where you adapted to this? To this understanding, to the way you are.
I don't know, man. I was a bad person. I've been a bad person my whole life. Not bad, but not like a good-hearted person. I don't think anyone would ever see that. I never displayed it. Man, this is going to sound so like a made-up moment. I had a moment as a comic, you're trying to be edgy and you see everything and you try to like write about it and you don't care. There's no feeling or emotion. I had Georgia and I one time, she was a baby. We went to the zoo and I stood next to this cholo who had like the world tattooed across his throat. But he had a little girl too. It was Georgia's age. And in this weird moment, me and this guy had this moment where we were looking at the walrus and I was like, I had this epiphany where I was like, me and him are identical. There's like, yes, we've had very different lives, and he has the world tattooed across his throat, and I don't. But at the moment, we're trying to get our kids to see the walrus for the best angle, and we shared the moment. Like, awesome. There's this one little thing, and he went in, and then he was like, "Oh, here, take it." And then I showed Georgia, and both our kids were losing their minds. And I had this moment where I was like, "Oh, I don't know. Maybe it was a turn of a corner, but like you go, oh, there's no." I didn't at that moment. I was like, I don't see race, I don't see color anymore. I just see dads. That's my thing. I haven't turned the corner with women totally. And I think I've gotten more misogynist the older I've gotten. But like only because I feel like things are changing so much with like, you know, all the pronouns and stuff.
Yeah.
I just start going like, hey man, it's not bad to be a dude. Question your masculinity. Oh, fuck you, man. I question yours. Don't question mine. I'm a regular guy. I like. Dude, if someone yelled there's a fight, I'd run out and watch it. There's nothing wrong with being a man. Just as much as there's nothing wrong with being black or Mexican or a woman, there's nothing. Right. I'm me.
Just goes back to when you said, like, talk about, like, empathy. Just being empathetic to anyone.
I have a lot of empathy in my heart. And I see things where I go, I don't know, whatever. So that was the moment, I think.
That's dope, bro. No.
The guy stabbed me in the parking lot.
Dope.
Who stabbed you?
The Mexican guy with the world.
That's bullshit.
I love that. That's my favorite part of this.
That's awesome, dude.
I didn't shoot him. Yeah. I stabbed him with that shovel.
Yeah. Dude, when I have Mexicans working at my house,
when you start off, when I have Mexicans working at my house,
can I tell you something? I started realizing how great intros to things were. Like when you say something bold, start a story that way. Yeah. I love it.
The headline.
It's my new thing. Yeah. The headline. The headline of your story.
The headline.
When I was 22,
man.
I got involved with the Russian mafia. When I had Mexicans working at my house. What was the other one I did tonight? My wife couldn't give a job to save our lives. Like, there's a bunch of headlines. I like a headline and a joke. But this is no joke, but it is a little bit.
I love job jokes. That was a great joke tonight.
Oh, thank
you. That was a good joke. And you're right about that.
These guys.
1,000%.
Who's had the worst job?
Me.
You really did have the
worst job? The other day again, and it was just as bad. She used there's a cream Cetaphil. Do you know what I'm talking about? Was that what the name of it is?
Andrew, you know what it's talking about?
It was so cold. I was
Sephora?
Like,
of all the things you asked me a question
what's
about.
What's it called? What is it, Cetaphil?
Yeah, Andrew, what's it called?
She's like, get that microphone away from me.
Can you imagine how hard it is to jack a black dude off? You got to go up and down, up and down. White guys, da 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 da. Black guys, like a marathon. No.
Jobs aren't fun.
I took a quiz. BuzzFeed told me I'm hard.
You'll take a job over a job?
Never.
Never.
Oh. Never. That's blasphemy.
Like, no.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they be mixed together to make a perfect world?
No, because that's called a perfect job.
Am I allowed to ask who likes their bumhole touchstone?
Yes, you can ask.
Do you like that? Who?
No.
Like, there's four of us. Tell the truth. Who likes their bumhole touchstone?
I do. I do, and that's gone south with my wife. Because
there's a fine line.
What's your fine line, sir?
I'd say the first knuckle.
Are you like... You like the Sacagawea exploration?
Say fine line.
Wait, can I do an impression? This is my impression of me asking my wife to put her finger in my ass. Okay, this
all
is
right.
My impression. Right?
Here we go.
Here we go. Oh, that feels so good. Oh, hey, put your finger in my ass. What? Nothing. That's a question you don't ask.
Just kidding, JK.
What time is it? Is it not? Is it? Well, I am so drunk. This is the best.
What
time will be done?
It's 2 o'clock.
Dude, this is every.
I'm glad that G got to
bosses,
be a part of this.
If you're listening to G Scott, this
it's a fake
this
G Scott.
Is a fake G Scott. This yeah. is, really isn't me. It's somebody
they
pretending to be me.
Making off this.
Problem is that. I think our companies don't realize, like, we could all get along. Like, yeah, we all have jobs to do, but I want to see you succeed, like, honestly, big time. Yeah, likewise. And, like,
it's vodka. Like, you're I like, saw that right to the face. You were like,
where you live, bro?
L.A.
You live in L.A.?
Yeah.
I'll be in L.A. in April. I'm going to come see you.
Please do.
Where are you going to be? You going to be out of town?
I do a black cast sometimes.
No, you don't.
I do.
The black cast.
It's my
you
favorite
a black
thing.
Class?
No, black cast is no, where
I can't even
black
say
dudes
it.
On my
wait
podcast.
A minute. We're teaching a black class. I'm in.
We're not going to even. Look, we're going to do this organically.
All right.
You ready?
Shake you want a white handshake?
No,
or
no,
handshake?
No, no. Brother, handshake. Ready?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, that was kind of weird.
Yeah, here, try me. Ready? Here we go. And, okay. That visual.
That
you missed
the
visual.
Give a very good, you know, like, good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
Good
yeah.
to see you, too.
Yeah.
I've heard about this drop
oddly
top
have a boner
and this
right
raindrop.
Now.
Yeah.
Smoking weed in the hot box.
By the way,
box,
there's
box,
no
box.
Such thing as a black class that I teach. Okay. I do a black cast where it's me
black
and my
cast.
Black friends, and
it's
we do a podcast,
cast.
And it
it's
is the funnest podcast. My friends who happen to be black. One of them's one of my daughter's best friends.
You got a lot of black friends, Bert.
I'm a comic. Like we're like.
Well, white comics have a lot of black friends?
Yeah, every white comic has all black friends. Like, it's, you know, like, my black friends are my favorite human beings in the world. But only because they're comics. Like, I don't know, in all honesty, I don't know that many black people that aren't comics. I guess they'd be work acquaintances is what you'd call them.
I mean, when's the last time a black man's been to your house to eat dinner? Don't lie, Bert. Don't. Freaking lie
it's
on
so
this
funny.
Podcast.
Omar Dorsey.
This damn Omar Dorsey, whoever you are, you must be a famous guy.
He's on Ray Donovan.
Okay.
But I said to my wife, he came to my house, and I go,
"You're so famous, I thought you were going to say Omar Epps."
No, that
would be so dope.
No, I,
that would
no.
end the conversation.
My buddy walked
in. Darnell Jefferson, starting tailback.
Dude, my buddy walked in on Cuba Gooding Jr. and his girlfriend.
What?
The podcast just got off the hook.
Please repeat that. Yeah.
My buddy walked in on Cuba Gooding Jr. and his girlfriend. That, at least that's what he told me. And I can't believe he was racist in that moment. It was like, who was Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Dude, I feel like that's a moment to be racist. That's an angry-ass moment. Like, you don't really mean, like, that's okay.
You can definitely say the N-word when you walk in on.
Go ahead. All bets are off.
Just, how dare you? I guess there's moments, like, I used to say, like, my girlfriend in college, we were talking about this before this started, my girlfriend in college gave me the clap, and I just took it. I remember feeling like I'm a good guy because I didn't hit her. Like, you should be allowed to hit someone when they give you a venereal disease. Like, when they give you a venereal disease.
Oh, so you didn't know and she had it.
She gave me the clap.
Oh,
I found out.
This makes me a good guy. Been there.
Yeah. And you just go, you should definitely.
Wait, you've had chlamydia. You've had chlamydia?
Yeah.
Okay, it's four of us right now. They say, studies say, 3 out of 4 have had an STD. Let's go.
Dude, if you.
It's a week of antibiotics. You're in and out.
Yeah.
It's four for four.
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
Ever?
No.
Miggs is such a liar. Look, Miggs 100%, is lying 100%, because his wife is going to be listening.
No,
that's some bullshit.
I guarantee you she does not listen to these podcasts.
And if she did, she sure as couldn't be here still because she's like super Christian, no cursing.
Really?
Vegan.
Shut up.
Your wife Christian. Vegan and Christian?
Got real. Vegan Christian.
Why does she give
Christian,
it your ass?
Vegan?
Right?
Man.
Even the Christians eat the lambs. Let me tell you something.
Tequila now. This is not vodka.
That's vodka. This is some nasty vodka. Ass vodka because it tastes like tequila.
Dude, it's Kirkland brand vodka.
It's a Washington State vodka.
How did Miggs get? No, the problem with my stand-up is that it's too conversational. The thing I change about it, because I do it a certain way, and then when I do a special, it's not that way. But, like, it's two conversations. Like, I had, like, 3 conversations with you from stage where I just kind of just, and, like, I'm telling you a story, but no one else is, it's just me and you talking. That's what I change about my stand-up. I'd also stop telling all these
stories.
I
love those moments. Those were funny as
Thank you.
You are a beast when it comes to telling stories. I get jealous over comedians. Like, I envy comedians. Like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
But I can talk a lot.
Super. Yeah, you
but
could do it.
What
you, could do,
you
it
do, you're a storyteller. Like, that is phenomenal, bro.
Agreed.
Like, that's an art.
100% agreed.
I don't know. I shouldn't even speak. But, like, I don't think I saw the storytelling as working until...
Yeah,
problem with this country is media.
Because, 100%.
And social media.
We all are.
Media and social media.
No, first of all, the problem with this country right now is goddamn people. There's a lot of stupid people right here. Yeah. There's a lot of people that don't read articles. There's a lot of people that read headlines.
Headlines.
You know what I'm saying?
Headlines.
And so they get the
That's
headlines.
Why I started a story.
And they say, headlines. Oh, no. They go ahead and pass it off.
Headlines.
Oh, headlines. You got involved with Russian
headline,
mafia.
Man. Let me tell you, story tell you, doesn't matter. Headline matters.
My wife is...
What is your wife? What is she?
Say Puerto Rican.
Please. Just white. Like old school white. Like redneck white. Like discipline your dog with a shovel white.
Like full white?
There's full white.
All right, continue.
Cousin Eddie.
Her family, you cannot understand them.
Hand fishing white?
Hand fishing white, yes. Mm-hmm. Except they're next level white. But they don't do it with their hands anymore. They put a noodle on a PVC pipe and put it in the hole. By the way, that's how white they are, is that I know what you're talking about,
right?
And I explained a different way that they do it white.
That is the worst thing white people do. It is the worst thing on the planet. Like, I hate those people.
I've done it before. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Dude.
It's so bad. You don't even know.
You guys who don't know, we're talking about noodling.
See?
What is a noodle?
When you put your hand on
the hole. Now, you're looking at me because you know I don't know what you're talking about.
I know.
Black people don't noodle.
You know, black
people don't kayak, they don't paddleboard, and they don't noodle.
No.
What's noodling?
So what you do is you go into a lake, and you find a hole in the shore. You stick your hand in there, and you hope that a 50-pound catfish bites your hand, You grab that then by the mouth and you pull it out of the hole, and that's how you catch catfish.
Talk about spending half the day with your ear in the water reaching in holes. Dude, another wild animal bites your arm to pull it out.
In the hopes that an animal bites your arm, and then you can pull it out. And they are the size of kindergartners. Like, no joke. So I've done it twice. One time I had one bite my hand. I pulled it up, and when I saw the size of it, I was so blown away, I let go. I was so freaked out.
Was it that big, bro?
Dude, it's the size of your torso. No joke. And it's 50 pounds. Like, it's the size of a chick. Like, a lot, like half a chick.
They're reaching into, like, mud. Like, it just...
And you put your fingers in there, and you feel around, and you can feel the water gush in and gush out because the catfish is breathing. And then all of a sudden, you feel it suck your fingers in and chomp down, and you are like, trust when I say, you lose your... And it's fight or flight. And here's the real problem. Sometimes they'll roll in the hole, and if they're bigger than 50 pounds, it can break your arm. And you break your arm and you can't use your arm anymore, but saying you have to go underwater and you're drowned.
Yeah.
So some people die noodling.
Have you guys seen black people do this?
Never.
No,
in my
that's
life.
My point. This is the whitest thing ever is noodling.
Have you ever seen Steve do this?
No. No, it's my wife. So my wife's family does it, but they put PVC pipe in with a piece of noodle. You know, those little pool noodles?
Yeah.
They use that. And then the catfish. Theoretically, the catfish will bite onto anything. You know, you don't need to use your hand. So my wife, my family does that. And then they lay trot lines. Trot lines are, like, you know what a trot line is? You tie a...
I have no idea what a trot line is.
This is like, real.
Is this Kentucky, West Virginia?
Appalachia.
Oklahoma.
Appalachia. Appalachia is where you find them.
Yeah.
Where they don't wear shoes when they go to school.
Oh, Appalachia, awesome. By the way, you want to talk about hoods.
The weirdest part of this is probably the least most racist people you ever meet in your life. Meaning, like, they definitely see color, but they don't see it in their life. Like, they see it, like, as almost, like, fundamentally. Like, meaning, like, oh, black people, this, that. But in their interactive life, they're all the same. Like, it's really an interesting, like, my wife's family is not racist at all. Meaning, like, every single one of them, not racist, work with black people, interact with black people, grew up with black people. There's no racism in there. However, they say the N-word. And you're like, yeah, but that's racist. They're like, I'm not racist. That's just what they are. And you're like, no, that's racism. And they're like, but like the perfect example, the woman that when we got married, we had to fill out our marriage license. That woman that did our marriage license in Carroll County was a black chick. My wife had known this girl her whole fucking life. Meaning, since she was a child, they went to preschool together, grade school, high school, one of her best friends. I go, I said something about her family or whatever. My wife's like, I don't know her. But I go, you grew up with her. So, like, they grow up together, but there is, and then my wife's not, right, my wife's obviously over-top liberal LA chick, but, like, there is this inherent racism in that girl's never been to her house, they didn't, she didn't know her brother had gotten shot.
City liberals are the worst racists, man.
Dude, don't even get me started. Don't. 100%. I am so sick of these liberals in cities who blame.
We support you, but don't go protest.
Yeah. I have a problem with, like, put your shit on the table, man. If you're going to say what you say everywhere.
Make eye contact with people.
I'm so done with this country and how this is going down because I find so much hypocrisy.
I love it when white people speak, especially when they speak that good word. You dig? We can go deeper, but it's
please, let's go deeper. Please do.
This podcast is crazy. Here's another question. Right now, what's the best year of your life?
Oh, hold on.
Mine is 1996.
Ooh. Hold on. Stop. Let's all Nas, think where we were in 1996.
Lauryn Hill.
Now we talking about music.
I rule the world. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever made 1996 good for me, that's what made it good for me.
Hold on.
What was
I'm sorry.
Your best year
hold on,
96
is when Nas came out with When I Rule the World?
With Lauryn Hill. Yes, sir.
Yeah, 94 is a better year because that's when he came out with Illmatic.
Hey. This dude right here is
wait,
a
can
boy,
I tell you, right? I used to work this thing called Save Escort at Florida State where I drove or walked people across campus. And black chicks and a black dude introduced me to Method Man. I was in the car and I was a big fan of Outkast and hip hop, but Outkast Miami hip hop. And I said to this guy in the car, and he was with a bunch of black chicks. So I was driving to FAMU, and he was like, I go, what are you listening to? We had headsets in. He was like, you wouldn't get it. I go, what is it? He goes, it's hip hop. You won't like it. I went, dude, I'm a big fan of hip hop. He goes, who you like? And Florida, we were like, Two Live Crew. Like, that's what we were into, is Miami booty music. And he goes, nah, you won't get it. It's Staten Island. And I was like, what is it? And he goes, Method Man. I was like, I bought Method Man that next day, and I started listening to it. And I got to be honest with you, I did not get it. I didn't get it until like that one day that you and your friend walk in, and you hear that, Kung Fu style. Yay. And then all of a sudden, you and your friend get it, and you're laughing, and you're right. Like, oh, this is what it's about. Like, and then, dude, I listened to my wife in the car the other day, and I was like, me and Mike Osborne sitting in the car in my driveway going, how? So wait, the best year of your life was 1986, you said?
1996. Tupac.
Is that when California did he die? Love. When did he die?
He 2000? Died September 13th, 1996.
Did he really?
He died.
I was at my sister's apartment when I found Tupac died. And I was floored. That guy was
I never thought he could die. I
never thought he'd die.
I never thought he'd die. Like, he gets shot 5-6 times. Oh, okay, he'll live.
His catalog.
Of course. How are we not going to talk like his money? Biggie Smalls, Tupac, the two biggest brothers at the profession at the time, get murdered. We ain't never solved them.
Dude,
this is like the most conspiracy theorist.
There's too much green in
Seattle for you to be talking that conspiracy. Yeah, if you're listening to the podcast right now, go to the store right now and go get you some greenery, because, man, he's got deep right there.
That is the truth, though, is that you look at that catalog of music, $16 million worth of music. I don't know.
Tupac, man, he ain't never been arrested till he got famous. Really? Right? We're talking about a guy that grew up in New York, went to Baltimore, went to an artistic school, became a poet and whatnot. With Jada. Right? Went out west, started rapping.
Yeah.
Never spent a day in jail till he became a famous black man. Think on that.
Wait, what do you mean then? So what does that mean? What do you say what you're saying?
Obviously, conspiracy. The Illuminati. When brothers get rich. There's a certain point.
To a degree, I agree.
You can let
but
some
Tupac, get by. Tupac was f***ed up. Everybody was doing some dumb shit.
Don't get me started on the what. Never mind. I'm not gonna
get started on it.
No.
All right, let's go Biggie.
Okay, let's talk Biggie.
Okay.
All right. I mean, so there's one cop involved. He dies in jail. How can we not solve that crime? And goddamn, Tom Brady loses a jersey. We're calling out the Texas Rangers.
By the way, this is what's wrong in America. I immediately, I'm distracted. I go, what happened to that jersey? Did they find it?
Right.
Who stole the jersey?
Somebody
black delegation or white?
It was a black running back, second string. Tell me, you win the Super Bowl, you're like, I can get Tom.
Y'all know it's Robert Kraft's grandson.
I would respond if you're listening right now. I would respond to that, but that was so funny, I can't.
This is what life should be. Is this moment right here? We're so in the moment.
Yep.
You are so up. You are literally. I'm watching.
Very.
You. I'm watching you figure out your eye, which one to use when you talk.
You
just picked one. I love it. This is the best.
I'm out.
Where are you going?
I'm going to 13 Coins. That's where I'm going.
Are we done?
I like to smoke weed with tobacco sometimes. I want to go outside and smoke a spliff.
Oh, don't do that.
How could you do that to Bert?
We're having such a moment.
I'm going to 13 Coins, so if you listen to the podcast,
you are. What's 13? What's 13?
It's right down the street. It's right there.
Is that where the
abolitionist is? Some good
go there?
Yeah.
No one got that joke.
And now we're telling jokes?
Stop with the one eye, Migs. You're freaking me out.
Oh.
You're like... You look like Chris D'Elia.
Go to 13 Coins.
I give... I am... I am so f***ed up right now.
No.
I did a podcast with these guys from Monsters in the Morning in Orlando. Do you remember that? Monsters in the Morning?
Yeah.
Still a show. Still
yeah.
a show.
Yeah.
These two guys do a show. Tom and Dan do a show called A Mediocre Time. It's such a good podcast. And one of the things he said that still to this day makes me laugh is like when you hang out with your friends from high school and you do like a radio show or a podcast and they try to bring up old times and like, hey, man, I had friends that did such horrible shit. Like, mailbox baseball, were you just federal offense?
Jesus Christ. Hey, Bert. When you used to ring the doorbell and run, what did you used to call it?
I called it ding dong and ditch, not
ring and run.
Wait, can I tell you?
Wait, hold on.
Wait,
what are you guys calling it?
No, Bert knows.
So what is it?
So wait.
You also
hold on.
Know what I called it.
We call it ring and run.
It's like when you know, put your lips on a blunt.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. So.
Go ahead, Bert. This is going to be good.
This is going to be a good story. You're going to love this story. I go, one day, my wife used to run our apartment building. So I take the girls to school. I get in the elevator. And in the elevator, there's a sign. Our maintenance man was black. His name was Antonio. And there's a sign. And I start to read it. And as I read it, the door reopens. And it's Antonio. And I go, hey, buddy. And he sees me reading the sign. Now, he worked hand in hand with my wife. On Monday night, he'd come over to my house to eat dinner and watch Monday Night Football. So I knew the guy well. And so... And he was a friend of my wife's. So he was a friend. So he sees me reading his sign. And he goes, oh, hey, man. Just so you know, some kids in the neighborhood, they's been getting a little ding-dong and ditch. I go, what? He goes, some kids in the neighborhood, they's been getting a little ding-dong and ditch. So as you know. I go, the f*** is that? And he's like, oh, shit, you never played ding-dong and ditch when you was a kid? I was like, I don't think I did. He was like, well, you goed up and knock on a motherfucker. Door and then bail out. I go, oh, we did that. And he's like, what did you call it? And I was like, nothing. And it's my daughters are like, what did you call it, Dad? What did you call it, Dad? I go, shut the f- up, bitch. That's what we called it.
Shut the f- up.
So the door's open and he looks at me and goes, f- you, I talked to your wife. I know what you called it. Because I guess he had given the letter to my wife, and my wife's like, oh, when we were kids, we called that.
Never mind.
Nothing.
Yeah, never mind.
And so I said to him, I go, I had to go to the garage. His car was in the garage. And I go, so wait, you never heard that before? And he goes, no, man, why are we going to call it that? I said, what did you call it when your car broke down and you fixed it with a piece of tape? He was like,
Jerry Riggin.
He goes, I called it fixing the motherfucker. I was like, that makes sense. So, but yeah, that is amazing. In the South, my wife's family still has one that no one's heard. I assume this, but I heard it and I
try me, Bert.
It's called.
I mean, I'm down, but try me.
So someone eats the last cookie, mm-hmm. and then the mom comes in the kitchen and goes, "Who ate the last cookie?" And no one admits to it. She goes, "Oh. There must be an N-word in the woodshed." You ever heard that one?
No.
You know, that's racist as f***.
I'm offended. Bro, stop being so offensive.
Dude. Can I tell you? We had this exact conversation at a dinner party. And I said to someone, my our friends were from Kansas City, I think. And they had never heard of these terms that are Southern terms. The thing, if you don't know this and you're just joining this podcast, the N-word in the South was used as a verb almost, right? Is that right? Or
Jerry Rig?
No, the N-word.
I thought that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. But are you saying Jerry is the N-word, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like used as an adverb or adverb. That's it. So I tell these friends of ours,
adverb.
An adverb accentuates a verb. So, like, yeah, right? Action. I'm N-word knocking was an adverb. Am I the smartest person in the room using the most racist terminology?
Yes.
So.
For the record, I never went to college.
And so I said to these people, I said.
And you've never said the N-word like Bert.
Oh, no, I have.
Yeah.
I'm cool now, but trust me.
So I said, I sing it a lot. If it's in a song, I bought the album T.I., I get to sing it. So.
Trap music was dope. I'm with you.
So
Migos are thankful.
I tell these people at this Migos, dinner party, Migos. I go, you never heard this? I don't like the Migos album.
At first, I wasn't.
I just got it because of Donald. f-ing Glover. He said it. And I was like, I was like, I respect what he does as an artist. He's got to be at the front of music. He must be their friends. And he's trying to sell albums for them. Anyway, my point is this.
No, it's just it's just different. Yeah, because we're all
I like
old.
My... No.
Yeah, yes. I know. That's I like my hip-hop. Part. I told him that tonight, man.
I like my hip-hop.
Yes.
Breathy. I want it f-ing real. Anyway, let's look. My point is this. I'm at a dinner party. And I'm telling the same story we're telling about the N-word right now to my friends. They're blown away. They've never heard this in my life. And I go, there's got to be a website that has proof that I'm not f-ing racist and that this was a part of my culture growing up. And I find one. And it's literally the first one is like N-word knocking. Then the next one's like N-word lipping. You know, yeah. These are all things. This sounds horrible, but these are all things that were real.
Yeah.
And then the next one is N-word Lee. Then I look. It's the Ku Klux Klan's website. And I'm like, I'm reading a white propaganda web. Like, I'm reading it, but I'm reading it out loud to my friends, going like, whoa, this is
guys,
Edward
this is crazy.
Lee.
Look what's Edward, going on.
Like, what the f***? And I was like, oh my God.
I don't get it.
It literally it says Ku Klux Klan, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, you just heard this on a podcast.
Yeah.
Bert's reading Ku Klux Klan podcast,
right?
Website
some good
on accident.
Like, I'm kidding.
Wait.
Can I tell you something that drives me nuts?
What's that, Bert?
Okay, boy, once again, off subject, sidebar.
What subject are we on, man?
We haven't been on a subject.
Hold on.
We just started talking.
Hold on,
right.
So wait, so I don't know where the story's going.
Me either.
I can't believe how much secrets I've told on this podcast. this is why you love podcasts, is that it's just secret time.
I'm going to eat.
Where are you going to eat?
13 coins.
You bring your ass too, Bert.
I'm not eating this late this night.
You're an LA ass. G Scott's going to get 13 coins. I'm out this bitch.
Mike dropped
the hardest eggs. Into my jacket pocket. Hey, thank you, man.
Yes, sir,
it was
man.
Fun as f***. Thank
this is
so
awesome.
Much. I appreciate you coming by.
Yes, sir. All right. Steve, my man.
I love your calves. Your calves. You have fantastic calves.
I work on them.
For real? They're amazing. They really are amazing. My wife's got good calves, too. There's nothing better than strong calves. All right, see you guys. So wait, are we still recording? Are we still recording? All right, let's go. You got fat man calves. Right? You used to be obese. Did you used to be obese? Those are beautiful. No, I was doing a voiceover with Daniel Tosh, and there's a guy named Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie used to be like 400 pounds. And we were in the voiceover booth doing voices. And I looked at his calves. I was like, those are amazing calves. He was like, thanks. He was skinny, by the way. He lost all the weight. And I go, no, those are really amazing calves. He's like, no, I appreciate it. And I'm watching Tosh, and he's laughing hysterically at this me and him interacting about Eddie's calves. And I go, no, seriously, man, I don't think you realize those are amazing calves. And he's like, no, I got it. And he's getting frustrated. And then I look at, and then Tosh hits the button where you can hear in the headsets, and he goes, he used to be obese, Bert. That's why he has big calves. He used to be 400 pounds. And I was like, oh.
He has to be 360.
Yeah, yeah. So I was laughing.
Sucks.
Yeah. I'm so lit.
Not me. I'm sober.
Do I look sober when I talk?
You look super sober. Yeah. All of us actually sound sober and look sober.
Is there any way to get another Double Tito's soda, Ruben? No?
Nah, I think we're done.
All right. We should wrap this podcast up and go to bed.
I mean, we could just end it right now.
Hey, guys. My name is Bert Kreischer. I'll see you on the road, BertCast.com, BertBertBert.com. Do you hear me going to host voice? Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, brand new podcast. Wait, where? Why?
Hit stop?
What are we going to say?
Are we hitting stop?
Oh, no. Yeah, all right. You want to hit stop?
Yeah.
Let's hit stop. All right, and go.